pray that you would give us wisdom as we seek to obey you better each day. We thank you for this Lord's Day and the opportunity we have to get to gather together. And we pray for all those who are gathered together today in your name. We pray that you would bless us and our families. We pray that you would guard our families and protect them from all the dangers that our world holds for them. We pray that you would guard them in your tender hands and guide them so that they might know you and follow you all the days of their lives. We pray for thy church everywhere. We pray that you would strengthen it, encourage it. We pray that you would revive it. We pray that you would cause it to be not just a gathering place, but a place for action, a place where people can find real meaning and purpose and direction in their lives in the midst of an evil generation. We pray that you would encourage us in serving you this day and this time that we have together. We ask this in Christ our Savior's name. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is 1 Corinthians 16, verses 12 through 24. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 12 through 24, our subject, a privilege of grace. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men and be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with the church that is in their brethren. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. We come now to the conclusion of 1 Corinthians, and we will continue next week with 2 Corinthians, a continuation of the same theme and dealing with other aspects of the same problem. One of the first things we must note is that the humanistic view of history is dishonest. It gives us a favorable view of man, of his progress, his hopes, and his love for things that are good. In reality, however, history is more accurately the history of hate, of hatred. Men's hatred for God, for one another, and for all that is holy. Hatred is often justified and vindicated as a necessary response to evil. And this is true enough. But evil does not arouse as much hostility as does godliness. Men hate God because God's holiness and righteousness indict them, and they indulge in intense hatred for God, for God's servants, and the Lord's peoples. Because of this fact, Paul gives much space in his concluding words to guiding the Corinthian church wisely during his absence. He has already, in verses 10 and 11, prepared the church for Timothy's coming. Now he tells them of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, who are coming soon or returning. They were exemplary Christians. In 1 Corinthians 1:16, Paul tells us that he baptized the household of Stephanas. Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus from Corinth had come to Paul at Philippi. He tells of the Corinthians, they are men who have, like Stephanas and Stephanas' family, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's a marvelous expression. Paul speaks of an eagerness to serve, an eagerness to further the Lord's work, as a marvelous addiction. Paul tells the Corinthians that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Paul says very plainly, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The health of the church requires that they appreciate not only Paul, but their own members who manifest true holiness. Paul then sends the greetings of the churches of Asia, especially the salutation of a distinguished couple known widely, that is Priscilla and Aquila, with the church that is in their home. Here was a wealthy couple that had businesses in, to our knowledge, three different cities and homes in all three. They therefore, being wealthier than most, had apparently large homes which were suitable as a meeting place. And as you know, for the first couple of centuries, churches met in homes. All other Christians sent greetings also to Corinth. In Corinth, Paul then adds his salutation, not dictated to them, but in his own handwriting, so that he's making a point of telling the Corinthians, you know my handwriting. Here, this is in my letters, my hand, the salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. Obviously, Paul had a handwriting that was easily recognizable. My father's handwriting was that way. You could spot it halfway across the room if you could see that well. And no one was ever mistaken as to whose handwriting it was. The only question, as one of his classmates said, I can never tell right off the bat whether it's in Armenian, English, or French. Well, Paul apparently had a distinguished hand. As against hatred one for another, Christians are commanded to love one another and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, Paul says, let all such be anathema. To anathemize someone is not to hate them, but rather to identify them as God's enemies. Paul does not say, do not hate me, but rather he commands the Corinthians to love the Lord Jesus Christ. For out of this love flows all true love. So Paul knows when he commands the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is telling them to love him and to love all others who are faithful to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, Paul must answer many lawless and malicious charges from the Corinthians. And he here sets before them the alternatives. He concludes with a brief and pointed benediction. First, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It was grace the Corinthians really had need of. They had pride and arrogance enough. New to the faith, they had challenged Paul, who was a veteran in the faith, who had suffered great hardships for Christ. The Corinthians had brought their pagan intellectual baggage into the church, and they were ready to correct Paul in terms of their limited knowledge. Of all men, to try to correct Paul the Apostle, that took a great deal of arrogance. They were acting as though they were the apostles and Christ a learner. Then second, Paul says something in his benediction that is remarkable. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's the only benediction I know of in which there's a personal note from the one pronouncing the benediction. But this is what he says. The love, my love be with you all, rather than what was usual, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Paul almost gives to his own love a supernatural status because as an apostle commissioned by revelation from Jesus Christ, he has a unique status and authority. Paul concludes 2 Corinthians 16, 4 with a triune benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. This is a more formal benediction. There can be no questioning Paul's meaning and sincerity in 1 Corinthians 16:23, when he blesses them with his love. The love of Christ, they knew. It had meant for them the atonement and the great blessings of history, the sacrifice of the cross. If they would but admit it, they knew also the love of Paul for them, a reflection of the Redeemer's own love. The intensity of Paul's feelings in both 1 and 2 Corinthians very clearly demonstrate his love. History, as I said at the beginning, is marked by hatred. The hatred of men who see themselves as God, for all who contest their claims, beginning with the true God and inclusive of all other men who believe themselves to be gods, rival claimants to the same title. As against this, Scripture opposes the love of Christ, the love of God, the love of Christ's true saints. We see that love in all of history, especially in men like Paul and countless missionary pastors since then. We see in history the hatred of God by fallen men, and on the other hand, the love of God for those who are his elect. This love of God manifested through his saints, through men like Paul and countless others since then, is a very wonderful and a very godly thing. I recall someone saying how when missionaries came to their area and saw the results of persecution and of enforced military created famine, and the children bloated and half dead with hunger, this missionary broke down and wept as he began to help these children. And the man thought, I have not wept for these, my people's children. And this foreigner from America is weeping for them. Well, this is what Paul here means. Well, 1 Corinthians thus is not only a letter about intellectual priorities, but also about Christian love. It is a letter of intense emotionalism, as well as of profound thinking. It has left its mark on profound scholars like Cornelius Van Til, and on very humble believers generation after generation, and to be marked by Paul is a privilege of grace. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that through St. Paul Thou hast left Thy mark upon us, pricked our consciences, aroused our minds, and opened them to great and marvelous things of Thy kingdom. We thank Thee, our Father. We pray that day after day Thou wouldst enable us to grow in grace and in knowledge of Thee, to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. To manifest Him and His Spirit unto all those round about us. Grant us this in Christ's name. Amen. Are there any questions now about our lesson? Next week, as I said, we will continue with 2 Corinthians, very much a part of the same story, and sometimes a very sad part when we see how unwilling people can be to learn and to grow, how they are insistent that they be taken for what they are, that they have the privilege of being stupid and immoral rather than godly and gracious. Well, if there are no questions, let us conclude now with prayer. Our Father, it has been good for us to be here, for Thy word is truth. We thank Thee for Thy word and for Thy Spirit. We thank Thee that underneath all the experiences of our lives are Thine everlasting arms. And so we cast our every care upon Thee who carest for us. We pray for Thy church everywhere, for those on the far-off mission fields, as they labor day by day for Thy kingdom. And now grant us Thy peace as we go our several ways. And now go in peace. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost bless you and keep you, guide and protect you this day and always. Amen.